Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bav Metzia Daf Kuf Yod Gimel Amud Aleph at the final Mishnah of the ninth Perek, Mishnah Yod Gimel, which is broken into several parts. This is the first part. Hamoder Chaveru Lo Yimashchenenu Ela Beveitin. So when you give a loan, you're not allowed to take a mashkon collateral except in Beitin. And we'll see the key pasuk here, v'lo yikanes leveitoli tol mashkona. You're not allowed to go into the fellow's house to take the mashkon, shenemar, bachutz ta'amod. Va'isha sharashana tanoshebo. Take a look at the pasuk on the page. Hayulo shnei kelim. Let's say that the borrower has two kelim. Notel achad meniach achad. You only can take one and leave him one. Umachzir takar ba'layla v'tamachresha bayom. You have to return a pillow. If he has a pillow, you have to return it at night. And you have to return a plow, something he works with during the day. In other words, you hold it when he doesn't need it, but otherwise you give it back to him. If he mate, in a machzir liyoshav. But if he dies, you do not have to return the collateral to his heirs. Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says, not with the last statement, but with the original statement, which is you don't return the collateral even to the original lender, except within 30 days. But if he doesn't pay with him, then you sell it in Beitin in order to be able to collect your loan. Okay, Amar Shmuel, Shliach Beitin. So let's say that we're not talking about the lender, but rather a Shliach Beitin operating on behalf of the Beitin to seize property, seize collateral or security. Mintach Ntucha, he can grab it. Now, in Avamash Mishkoni Lo, he can grab it, meaning out in the shuk, if he sees the borrower walking around, he can grab something from him, but he can't go into his house and take it. But we said that when you lend to somebody else, you can only collect the mashkon beitin. So we see that you do take a mashkon in beitin itself. It's not just netuche. So Malach Shmuel, Shmuel could answer as follows. Ema, read it as follows. Lo yinatchenu ela beveitin. Meaning you can only seize it from the fellow in beitin. So hachinam mistabran, we have provisional support from that. Tiktani seifa, in the rest of the Mishnah we saw later on. Lo yikanes levitoli tol mashkono. Now, the opening part of the Mishka is you can only take it in Beit Din, and then it says you can't go into his house. Mani, who are we talking about here who can't go into his house? Ilan Balcho, if it's the regular creditor, Reisha Shemami. Now, you hear from the Reisha where it says you can't, you have to do it in Beit Din. So, therefore, Allah Shleach Beit Din must be the safest, Lachmach Shleach Beit Din. He also can't go into the guy's house, so we already know that. So, Shmuel's new read that we put in for him seems to be supported. Answer is no. Imi Shumha, that's not support. Lo Iria. Hachi kamar malvet chavero lo yimashchenenu ela beveitin. The Mishnah should read as follows, meaning this is how we understand it: when you lend money, you can only take a mashkon beveitin. Echal de beveitin mashkonim. All that tells you is that you could take it in beitin. Ubal chov afilin tuchin amilo, and a bal chov can't seize it from him even in beitin. So they kanais the beitol etol mashkono. Right, but that means it only happens in beitin. So we don't have proof from the Mishnah that that's the proper way to read it. Proof from our diuk in the Mishnah. Now, Meitiv Rav Yosef. He says, Lo yachvor rechaim v'rachev kinefeshu chovel. You can't seize, let's say, a mill that the guy works with, mashma hadvarim acherim, that something else you can seize, meaning something he doesn't, his livelihood doesn't depend on. And lo tachvor beger amanah, you're not allowed to take the clothes of a widow, meaning a poor person, hashal acherim chovel, you're allowed to take from somebody else. So man, who is it that's allowed to do these things? Inim balchov, tiv lo tavor beitol, avot tavotol. Balchov is not allowed to come into his house and take anything. So how can you be medayik and say you're allowed to take things that he doesn't need for his livelihood, and you're allowed to take things from a poor person, from a non-poor person? Allah shteach beitin must be that shteach beitin is allowed to go into the house and seize it. So think about Papa Breder of Nachman, come to Rav Yosef. Amri la Papa Breder of Yosef, come to Rav Yosef. A particular Rav Papa in front of Rav Yosef answered and said, "The olam balchov." We're talking about a balchov. Vavor la b'shnei lavin. There's a lav of lotavo el beito, lavotavoto. And if he does take Rechaim Varechev, or he takes Beger Amanah, then there's a separate lav, and he violates two lav in there. Okay. Atoshma, Mimashva Shinem Marbachutz Tamod. When the Pasuk says you have to stand outside and let the guy bring in the mashkon, any Yodea Sha'isha Sharatano Shevo Yotzi, don't you understand the rest of the Pasuk from that? The Rabot Shteach Beitin. Shteach Beitin is also like him. Like whom? My love Shteach Beitin Kalova. Doesn't that mean Shteach Beitin is like the Lova? That he can go, Aish. Asher Atono Shebo is the borrower. Borrower can go into his house anytime he wants. So Shteach Beitin is also like that. No, Shteach Beitin Kamalva. Shteach Beitin is like the lender that he can't go into the house. Alright, Toshma. If you take as security the garment of somebody else, you have to return it to him by nightfall. This pasuk is talking about Mishteach Beitin. I tell him, Mishteach Beitin, maybe it's a creditor, when the Torah says you're not allowed to come in and seize it, that's the Balchob. It says, if you seize the garment of your fellow, it sounds like he's allowed to go into the house and seize it, but he has to return it by nightfall. The answer to this is Tanoihi. It's Machloket Tanaim, whether or not Shliach Beitin can go into the house, or is bound by the same restriction that the creditor himself is bound by, which is Bachutz Tamod. Tan Shliach Beitin Shabala Mashkano, lo ikanes le veitola Mashkano, he can't go into his house. Ela Omeid mi Bachutz. Good. So that's one brighter that says Shliach Beitin can't go into the house, just like a malveh. Right, a regular creditor has to stand outside. Shliach Beitin can go in and take it. But parenthetically, even in Shliach Beitin, nobody could take as security something that the fellow needs in order to, for livelihood. He has to leave two beds and bedclothes, le'ashir. He has to leave two beds and like a rug or a mat, which they use as a cover for an ani. We'll talk about what that's about. Lo avalo li'ishto. He only has to leave it for him, not for the wife, lo avanav v'notav. Now, mesadrin means that we take things, if a person owes a debt, we take them to them and sell them in order to pay the debt. So just like we do it for balchov, we do it for arachin. Klapei laya, that's backwards, because mesadrin is something we learn from the parsha of arachin. Just as we do with arachin, so we do with balchov, and we sell his stuff off in order to pay off the debt. Now, Amar Ma, Notei Mital Mital Matzah L'Ashir, Mital Matzah Mafatz Le'ani Leman. Who are we leaving this extra bed for? Ilem Eli Yishto Levan Levanotav, for his family, Hamart Lo V'lo Lo Yishto V'lo Levanotav, we just said you don't leave it for them. Eli Yidav 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 Yidav, for him. Tarte L'Amili, what does he need two beds for? Chadad O'achil Alav, Chadad O'zalg Alav, one that he eats on, one that he sleeps on. Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel. This is based on the following statement of Shmuel, who was also a doctor, among being an astronomer, and of course a great Chacham and Dayan, said, Komili Adana Sutayu, I know how to cure any disease that comes from the result of particular actions, except for three actions. Somebody who eats these bitter kind of dates on an empty stomach. Manda Asa Mitana Dekitna Retiva Chartse, somebody who ties some wet flax around himself. Somebody who eats bread and doesn't take four steps. So the idea is to eat and then sleep in the same place that you ate is very unhealthy. So therefore you want to have two beds, the one you eat on because they used to eat on beds, and another one that you sleep on which is more than four steps away so that you solve this particular problem. Okay, Tani Tana Kamedu Rav Nachman. So we had a Tana taught in front of Rav Nachman that just as we do this selling off to solve somebody's problem when they made a pledge of arachim and they can't pay it off, we do the same thing with balchov. So Amarle Hashto Zvunim Zabninole, Sadur Misadrinole, wait a second. We sell the stuff. What do we have to do a Sidur for? Or time out. Umim Zabninole, since when do we sell the stuff off? Atnan Machzir Takar Balayla, Tabach Shavayom. You return the items when the guy needs it. You don't sell them off. You keep them like an escrow and then you return it when he needs it. So Tana Rishim Gamliel Tana Kameh. The answer is that this Tana had taught Rishim Gamliel's Shita in the Mishnah, and Rishim Gamliel, if you remember, he said, he said, after 30 days you sell it. So in other words, this Tana taught Rishim Gamliel's Shita that you sell it off, and then said Misadrin. So why would you do that? So wait a second. Since when do we think Rishim Gamliel said you sell everything the guy has? If the guy pays the debt within 30 days, you give him everything back. Anything afterwards, we return only what he needs. Anything he doesn't need, meaning what he needs for bare subsistence, we keep and we give it back to him when he pays the loan. But the other stuff that's luxurious, we sell off. So why maybe that's what Rishim Gamliel meant, which means that Nachman's challenge to the Tana was not really a challenge, because we don't really sell everything off. The answer is, but if that would be the case, Moshe Gamliel himself would say, you can't sell anything off, because everything is fit for the guy. Why? These four great Tanaim, and this is typical for Abaye, to draw a different Tanaim from different areas of Halacha, and find a common concept between them. They believe that Am Yisrael are all royalty, which means the finest stuff is fit for them. Which would mean in our case, Moshe Gamliel, if he really holds that way, and we'll see that he does, would maintain that anything, no matter how luxurious, is really fit for the guy, which means you can't sell anything off. It must be that you do sell everything off. This is in the context of Shabbos. Lo ataluf lo atachardal. These particular plants are considered muktz on Shabbos because they have no particular use as is. He says you're allowed to use this luf. It's something you feed to ravens. Now, ravens is something that only very wealthy people grow. But all of Israel could be wealthy. Shimon Nan, famous Mishnah in Shabbat. Princes would take rose oil and rub it on their wounds on Shabbat. And since they do it normally on Chol, it's not considered refuah. He says all Jews are b'nei melachim, and therefore any Jew could do it on Shabbos, and it's not limited to a class of very wealthy. Let's say that you owed 1,000, and you had a garment worth 100. Mafshitino tomimenu. We take it off him. We give him something that's worthy of his position. He has a very fancy thing. We take it off him to pay off the debt, and we give him one that's worth it. We have both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva chiming in here, saying, all Jews are ruined for that very fancy itzla. You can't say give him one that's appropriate for him. It's all appropriate for him. All right, so we now come to the point of saying Moshe Gamliel would maintain that if you sell the fellow's stuff, it has to be all of his stuff, because there's nothing that's not ra'ui for him, therefore you can't make that split. So l'may but according to this havamina that we had, Moshe Gamliel would say, you give him what he needs and you sell off the rest. So bishlam makar kaset chazile deveni veni. I understand why you would sell the car and cassette, and they're maybe nicer, and then he would get a cheaper one. But a plow, what are you going to do? If you sell the plow, which is what we talked about in the Mishnah, if you sell the plow, what's he going to do? He can't get a cheaper plow. A plow is a plow. Rabba, machresha de kaspa. Machresha here is not a plow. It's some sort of a jewel called machresha de kaspa, like a key ring. It's very fancy, so you get him a less fancy one, or he doesn't need it at all. So the question is, why is the Baal Chov responsible for this guy's life? This guy is poor. He borrowed money. The Baal Chov now has to make a whole deal with him. We're going to sell some of your stuff off, but we have to leave you for your subsistence. Why is that his responsibility? It really is. It's the Baal Chov's responsibility. In that pasuk that the entire sugya rests on, revolves around, we saw that the Baal Chov is obligated to act with tzedakah towards his debtor, and that's returning the avot at night, and therefore a further component of the tzedakah is the responsibility for his welfare, such that he makes sure not to take everything of his in order to pay back the loan. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick it up in the next podcast, further discussing the issue of Sidur LeBaal Chov. Everybody should have a wonderful day.